significant trade for the Edmonton Oilers and for the New Jersey Devils. You know, obviously Taylor's been a long-standing member here. He's been a very good player here, and he's a guy that he leaves everything on the ice, and I respect that. In the last 4 or 5 months, you know, I've been quite public in saying we're looking for some defensemen. We really got to shore up our defense, and we've pounded the pavement, and this is the price that you have to pay. And it's unfortunate that a player of Taylor's caliber, but we're getting a really good player back. Adam Larson is 6'3". I think he's 210 now. Very smart player, and it took him a little while to get going, but he had a terrific year this past year. He moves the puck. He defends well. He can log a lot of minutes. He can play 25, 27, 28 minutes. He can match up against all the top forwards. He can move the puck. He has more skill to show also. So, you know, it's unfortunate in these deals that you have to, you know, this is what you have to do. But I felt it was a player that I've watched very closely, and this year, and I could see his game trending up, and it was time to act on it. I spoke with Taylor at the trade earlier today, and he was very disappointed. Felt that he was part of the solution. I didn't disagree with him. I just said, this is the business. You have to make hard decisions. My roots aren't as deep in this organization as Taylor, so I respect his emotion. I've always respected his play and his competitiveness, and he'll have a real good career going forward in New Jersey. We tried to varying degrees at the draft to facilitate a trade for a defenseman. We tried on a number of levels to draft a defenseman. It meant maybe moving down. We were fortunate to get the player we did for a number of reasons. So this made the search for a defenseman a little more urgent. So, questions?
Peter, you know, they say that you win the trade if you get the best player in the trade. And maybe in this situation, did you know that the issues on the blue line were deep enough that maybe you had to make a deal you knew on the surface you might not win in order to fix the significant issue?
That's a fair comment, Ryan. If you look just at what they've accomplished so far in the league, you would think that. And so he's a younger player, so he's not by much, by a year. It's a need-based trade. I feel very strongly about this player. I think he's only scratched the surface. He was really excited when I talked to him. He felt the same thing. But yeah, that's a fair comment.
Terry and Marie.
Obviously, to some extent, the city isn't doing cartwheels out there right now, but to what extent can you, rephrase this, project that by July 1st they'll be happier with their hockey team than they might be at this exact moment?
Well, I really can't project beyond saying that we're continuing to work on improving the team, Terry. Yesterday we had a couple of players visit the team. We spent the whole day with them. We showed them the new rink. We're being proactive on that front. I don't know, we can only be as proactive as we can, and then we're doing that. So what I can tell you is if we don't do anything on July 1st, it's not for lack of trying, and I'll continue to try and improve this team.
Peter, hi, over here. You mentioned that your roots with the Oilers aren't as deep as Small, who's been here since being drafted first overall, when they finished last the first time, and he was kind of associated with that wave of the rebuild where the team hasn't improved that much. Is there any significance for you, having been here a year, having drafted Connor, that this is maybe branching off the road a little bit and, the identity of the team is a little more yours now?
Well, That may be a byproduct, but certainly wasn't any primary objective. The bottom line is you're going to have to pay a good price to get a good player. And that's really what happened. And it was a need that I felt was significant. And, you know, that really that's the bottom line in this transaction. That's what I can say on that.
The willingness to make, you know, sort of lightning rod type deals where has a lot of chatter as to, you know, who won, who lost. But when you, I don't know if rank is the right word, but when you think of other deals you've made, would this be one of the more difficult ones, or you?
Well, like I've been part of difficult deals, and you know, when you do any type of deal is difficult. This is what I spoke to Taylor about. Like, listen, I know I'm uprooting your life, so that by itself is difficult. You know, there's a pedigree and label attached to certain players, and they're earned, and Taylor has that. You know, the player that we acquired doesn't have that, just by virtue of his development curve, but he has the requisite skill set. He has the passion. He's got the size. He's got the skill. So it's something that I believe in this player, and he's going to really help us. We need, like, the righty lefty thing on defense is very significant, and we have to have someone who can push the puck up to our forwards, and this guy has that ability. He's not your classic puck mover. He doesn't have the lightning speed that maybe people completely associate with puck moving D-men, but he moves the puck quickly. He sees the lanes quickly. He's a very, very smart player. His skating is good and getting better, and he's becoming a very good defenseman in this league.
Eric, in respect, they haven't already dropped you at the draft, but you haven't maybe given the opportunity to draft and kind of set the dominoes for this, and now you can look at the big picture.
A little bit, Derek. And just on Puljujärvi, you know, like, he's a really good player, and we were fortunate to get him. Columbus had other needs, and that's, you know, and then I can't speak further, but that's, you know, that this happens sometimes. We were fortunate. Yes, it did make it easier. I mean, it made it easier. You know, like, you don't want to say that, well, this guy's filling this guy's role, like, but because he's a young player and he's growing and he's just beginning his career, but it did make it easier.
Two, if you don't mind, do we see this as a byproduct of, given your brothers, you would rather have kept Ryan Newton Hopkins as centerman, or is this just the only deal you could make?
I would say neither. Like, this is the deal that we were targeting. This player, we were in on other deals, Mark. But this is the deal that made sense for a number of reasons. And, you know, to say that this is a default deal, I don't know if that's what you're alluding to. You know, I wouldn't look at it that way. I see us acquiring a young, big, strong defenseman who's in the league, playing strong, moving the puck. There's right D available out there. We had been in discussions on a number of levels. You know, we still may be in discussions on levels going forward. This is a guy that we wanted to have right now.
And the way the cap works, every year we see some of the really good teams trading away players and losing the trade. You know, Chicago's been doing it for years. When you're trying to rebuild a team and bringing in a bunch of money on whenever you're going to do it on July 1st and stuff, is this part of the byproduct? In order to bring talent in, do you have to lose a trade sometime to get guys out?
Well, you know, like, is that a nice way of saying you're losing the trade? You know, like, I think you have to reserve judgment, Spec, on this before you start the Twitter war. He's a good player, and you know, like, is it all one equation? It all balances out. You know, at the end, when you build a team, like, you have to give a little and get a little. Maybe that's the answer to your question. Yeah, the D are so important, and those D that can move a puck are so important in this game now. The game's changing, and I felt it was critical that we move on this. We have an excess amount of forwards. Taylor's a very good player. He's part of the fabric of this organization to this stage, and it's difficult.
RJ and here, is he kind of a hybrid guy, Larson, that is, in that he moves the puck, but he also worked most of the year as a shutdown guy with Andy Green?
He's a very strong defender. Like he there are games that we saw him, that I saw, he's like 25, 27 minutes. I mean, he plays against the top forwards. He's got that element to his game. It's a very underrated element of his game.
So you would expect him in your top pair?
I would, at this stage, yes.
Matty?
Just ask the question.
Ryan?
Canadian.
Maybe a little bit of the bigger picture, Peter, timeline-wise for the organization. You've got a couple of years left with Connor McDavid on an entry-level deal. Do you need to...
One step at a time here.
I'm saying is you need to make some headway and push forward while you have the benefit of, you know, Draisaitl, same thing. Some of these contracts where they're not these guys in their second deals getting some...
Well, that's a good point. A secondary benefit of this deal, but certainly not the reason why we did it, is Adam's contract. And the cap hit, and that gives us a little bit more leeway going forward into, as you build out the years. But I have to be cognizant of all that stuff, and it's part of projecting your roster from year to year. And
is there a statement you want to make to Edmonton, considering the timing of this, and there's still more to happen, and When you're evaluating your entry level guys, for example, you're not looking at where they're at now, but where they're at 5-6 years from now. Is part of that in play here? A lot of us have suggested you needed
2D.
Two defensemen, yeah. Not one. Is that still very much out there?
I had said earlier, Terry, that if we continue to improve our D, we will. You know, the message is that it was a critical part of our team that we had to improve, and we were willing to pay the price to do it. That's the message. There's a number of there's certain time periods left in the summer team building, so to speak, and we'll try and take advantage of those. Whether, you know, we had a couple of players in for the shopping period. We're going to try and connect with certain players in the July 1st period. There's a whole other trade period after that. So I mean, like this, we have to work every period. We have to work at improving the team. So that might be the message. I mean, it's an obvious message, but that's what we're striving for here.
Building part of it of conceptually, for example, you've got the three centers right now. Is this a kind of commitment in that direction?
I'm not going to disclose everything we're going to do, but I can tell you this: is that we're able to put Leon up, okay, and that gives us a little more flexibility up to the wing. And he showed that he could do that. He plays well on his off wing. He makes plays on his back end. You know, he likes to generate speed more at center, but he's a smart enough player, so that gives us some flexibility. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do. I mean, you probably heard that from me before, but.
What was the rush to make the trade now before July 1st? Would the trade not have still been there after July?
Well, I wouldn't call it a rush, but it might not have been there. So what happens is that the market changes when kind of those players become available and guys change their approaches. That really wasn't a dynamic. Like there were some other deals we were looking at, and there were other reasons why it had to happen today. Nothing really newsworthy, but we acted on it today.
Peter, there was a sentiment out there, probably without much to back it up, that moving Taylor Hall had something to do with anything other than making a good hockey trade. Can you address that or put it to bed that Taylor, there was no issues with Taylor Hall personally?
No, there weren't. Like, this is I couldn't stress more that we had to improve our D. We wanted to get a right shot D that could play high in your lineup, and that's the price. Like Taylor's, like, he's a competitive player, a very good player. He's going to have success. He's won before. You know, he's you know, we have a, we just, that's what you have to do to get that type of player.
Do you think people out there are bad that, you know,
you're trading a guy who was in the top three scoring left wingers the last 4 years for a defenseman that just as a sort of emerged last year? Does the hockey world understand that that's a fair trade?
I don't know. I, like any of my colleagues that I talk to, understand and talk about the merits of the deal in a beneficial way, a mutually beneficial way. I can understand, Spec, if someone thinks, if you, as I said earlier, if you just look at the accomplishments of Taylor in the league now to what Adam's done, I can understand if they think that. But this is a player, as I said before, this is a player, big, strong D-man who's coming into his own. He can play, he's like your, he's your matchup defenseman, and he can play in an offensive role. That's not his forte, Spec. The offense isn't his forte, but he can pass, he sees the ice, he makes plays, he can shoot. I mean, he's not a sexy defenseman. That's a fair, you know, that's a fair equation. Yeah, that's, I mean, he's a really good defenseman. He's a guy that maybe he's not in the spotlight. He probably doesn't deserve to be in the spotlight because he hasn't done it yet. But I can assure you that this last year he's coming to his own.
Peter, it looks like both Puljujärvi and Larson fit into your bigger, heavier, stronger kind of mandate or edict or whatever it is. Whatever you do, if you're able to do anything on July 1st and beyond, are we going to see more of that?
Well, I think that's an important attribute to any successful team. And, I mean, you can characterize the winning teams, the cup winning teams each year in a different way. I've had success with that. I think there's a lot of teams that have had success with that. I think it's a simple law of physics. I think it's important for the players that we have that we add that and continue to add that component in a prudent way. So your question was, that's a good enough answer.
There are a couple more guys. Do you, if Larson projects as sort of the bigger, stronger, more quiet, say, number two, do you have a shot out there at a more offensive defenseman? If you're on a power play.
Well, again, you know, I wouldn't call Adam a pure power play guy. So if there's, I mean, that's an area we need to fill. We need to improve. So, you know, that's one of the things that we would continue to look at because it's an area. Pardon me?
Is that guy out there?
There are some guys that would fit that bill. Whether they're available or not, I'm not going to disclose, but there are some.